Hopefully there are some folks in here who read what I read, but growing up, I read a series of novels called Choose Your Own Adventure. Does anybody remember some of those? They were awesome. They were written as if you yourself were the protagonist of the books, the hero, the star, filled with crazy and wondrous adventures, like blasting through a far-out galaxy or exploring a haunted house. Reading one of these novels was pretty transcendent. You really felt like you were entering another world and felt like you had some actual power. Coincidentally, we were playing one of these games on the youth trip. We have this Choose Your Own Adventure board game, and so I was able to introduce to them the joys of this nostalgic thing, and it got me thinking. But back to the books. What made them special, what actually made them really compelling, wasn't just the power, was that they had a variety of possible endings. Every couple of pages, you were forced to make a choice. Turn to page 37, if you want to bravely head into the deep, dark, mystic forest. Or turn to page 41, if you want to take the safer road home, you coward. That was always the implication if you chickened out. Every choice you made led to another series of choices. And so on and so forth until you reached one of the 30 or so possible endings. It was awesome because you could read the book several times over and chart a wildly divergent path and reach a different conclusion every time. Every moment of choice was this heart-stopping cliffhanger. And as the reader, you had to branch out in faith, hoping that the choices you made were going to result in your profit and not your doom. You are the star of the story, the tagline said. Choose from over 30 possible endings. You see, I wasn't lying about the endings. It's funny, though, how those connections are made in our minds, because as we were playing War Against the Evil Power Master, that's the game we were playing, it got me thinking about this strange moment today in the book of Acts when Jesus bodily ascends into heaven. Strangely, I kept coming back to this story when we were playing the game and to these books. Choose your own adventure. Because, as I've come to believe, the ascension has its own kind of cliffhanger ending. The disciples had to witness the brutal death of their master, and they felt all of the crushing pain that came with his death. But death, that day and forever, will not have the final word. In defiance of the finality of the cross, there Jesus was, bursting forth from the tomb, giving them life. He presented himself in the disciples' homes, which were their prisons of fear and sorrow. He showed up, even though the doors were locked. He offered them an embrace of love. In their darkest of hours, he invited them to put their hands into his body. He sweetly and tenderly cooked breakfast for them on the shoreline after he had guided their nets to a most excellent catch. He fellowshiped with them for 40 days, and they thought it was going to be forever. But then, after a blessing and a promise of greater power, he left them. He left. The one who first left in death was now the one leaving them in life. After all that they had experienced, after the emotional roller coasters they had been on, Jesus decides to leave them once again. And this time it's by his own choice, which means it might have stung a bit more. It's the cruelest kind of cliffhanger endings, if that's where it ended. Just when they thought that everything was going to be okay, he left them feeling like their nets were empty once again. But I don't think they could see it in that moment. But I believe it, that their nets weren't actually empty. He left them with something extraordinary, something that is changing the world at this very hour. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, As they were watching, he was lifted up in a cloud, took them out of their sight. Yeah, Jesus left them physically. His body ascending into heaven. But the truth is, he didn't leave them rudderless, adrift on a river of uncertainty. He left them with something, a mission, a purpose, a glorious purpose, a promise of a spirit that would infuse them with power greater than he had. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them and he commissioned them, those people, the ones who were broken, the ones who were fickle, the ones who didn't always have it right. He commissioned them to carry on his ministry. Not just in his name, but to push it forward, to continue to do the wonder works that he himself accomplished, to go even to the ends of the earth in order to proclaim the gospel. He left them physically, yeah. But what an emotional cliffhanger that would have been, right? But then he left them with a choice of sorts. Will you carry on my ministry, or will you simply return to the lives that you once knew? He had already found them having returned to the lives they once knew. After Jesus died, before the resurrection, what did the disciples do? They went back to their boats and their nets. They thought it was game over. So they went back to what they were comfortable with. The old life here, they're fishing. Jesus on the shore calls them in. They were rudderless in that moment. And they went back to what they knew. But Jesus here gives them another choice. Will you carry on my ministry, or will you go back to what you knew? We see something of this in the scriptures themselves. As any human being would do, past, present, or yet to come, when they saw their Lord ascending into heaven. I mean, really, if we saw somebody flying skyward, we too would gaze with eyes wide open to the sky and our mouths would be agape. And those disciples were probably full of anguish and surprise and they couldn't make sense of any of it. But they're gazing, they're beholding, was interrupted by the cutting voice of an angel. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I've never had an angel talk to me. At least I don't think I have. But most of the time in the gospel, they're giving comfort. Gabriel comes to Mary. But here, I imagine this message was delivered not with a sympathetic voice of comfort, but with something more like a tone that said, dudes, get on with it. He told you what to do. Don't waste your time waiting around. Be active. Take this power. Run with it. And thus they found themselves in that crucible of choice. Do we stay here or do we go to the ends of the world preaching peace? As much of a cliffhanger as the ascension is, it reveals some pretty incredible truths. There is nowhere, nowhere now that we can go that Jesus Christ is not present. His ascension was not simply a physical departure or a show, but we believe that it was him being taken to the right hand of the Father, transcending the limits of space and time by which we find ourselves constrained. We meet him in the simple things of bread and wine because he has become so much more than they ever thought he could be. And with this ascension comes another realization. Jesus, subject to no one, no thing, no power, no principality. And the disciples may have been filled with surprise and anguish and justifiable fear. They came to believe eventually that there was actually nothing left for them to fear when they rested in the love supreme of Jesus Christ. And we know this because here we are, gathered around a table under the banner of St. Peter, perhaps the most fickle of them all. And yet here you are, continuing the story that was inaugurated back then. The saints made the decision, the resolute decision, to keep the faith, to not shrink back in fear. Here we are, keeping the feast, living proof that the disciples chose not to give into fear or to anguish or even to shame. on the beach where Jesus cooked for them. He took Peter aside and three times restored him to fullness into his ministry. Jesus was all about empowering them, and they got it. Here we are. Awakened from their days by the voice of the angels, they went to the ends of the earth preaching this gospel of peace and love. This supremacy, this lordship, this absolute victory over death, hell, and the grave, that's what we too are called to trust in and proclaim with loud voices even to the ends of the earth. Even if we find ourselves in a similar crucible of choice, confronted with an opportunity to be a faithful person of faith, to step out in trust, or to rest fearfully in inaction. In this season, we're called to trust more deeply in the power of the ascended Lord and his continual presence with us. It was he who said, "I will not leave you as orphans. And though I have never heard the voice of an angel, I can say I don't feel like an orphan. I'm surrounded by a people, a community of love, feeling the power of Jesus Christ. And I hope you feel that too, that you aren't alone in this, that you're surrounded, that you're held. The same is true today of those disciples as it is for us, present with us, even as he moves beyond all the limits that limit us. So, kind of like those books of my childhood, we get to choose our own adventure. We have an opportunity now, right now even, to make the resolute decision to expand our consciousness, to take stock of our priorities and to reset them, to stop looking where we're not supposed to look and to fix our eyes on the purpose we've been given, to cast off what we acknowledge is holding us back from living as if the gospel of Jesus Christ really and truly has changed the foundation of the universe. Will we be individuals who stand in fearful waiting, hoping that Jesus will come back soon enough to set us free? Or will we dare to go out into the world, to go out there, fearful as we may be, inexperienced as we may be, full of self-doubt as we may be, but nevertheless making the choice to preach and proclaim his love, to welcome people into a community of hope and faithfulness, to let people know that the worst things about themselves won't limit them, to let people know they have sacred value and worth, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the vision laid out before us, dear people of God. And the choice is ours. It always has been, always will be. I'm pretty sure I know the kind of choice that I'm going to make in this moment. How about you?